Welcome to all of you that came today, and to all of you that are looking at us through the internet. Praise the Lord, we're glad you're here. Let's have a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, that it was brought to us. We thank you, Lord, that we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, and we have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God, even in midst of all these times. And I ask you to bless the reading and teaching, preaching of your word this day. And we ask your blessing to be upon it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn to John chapter 5, and beginning at verse 33. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. There are four witnesses. As we've been looking at the witnesses that John brings up to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in believing that, you might have life in his name. And the important thing is life. When you're dead, you don't have any temptations. When you don't have any problems, you don't feel anything. You don't have any joys as far as this flesh is concerned. I remember at my dad, when he passed away, I walked into the room, talked to him. He said, "Keep on preaching, boy, just keep on preaching." I stepped out and talked to my mother and said, "He's doing pretty good right now." Turned around 1 minute later, he was gone. He wasn't in that. That body was there. They still had the machines pumping. And I said, "Turn the machines off. The man's not there anymore. He's not going to get any burden, and he's not going to have any joy. He's not going to be tempted. He's not going to commit any sin." I said, he's not there. Everything we have is concerned with life, and that's exactly what the gospel is. It's life in Christ Jesus, eternal life, the godlike kind of life. That's the kind of life that Jesus wants to give to you. Amen. Well, now, in the scriptures here, we've seen so many times the witness of John that you might believe that Jesus was the Christ. It's an evangelistic book. I do believe, and I've said it several times, I'll probably say it again a few more times if I don't die soon. I think the most important book for Christians to learn is the book of John and the book of Romans. Those two little books, I think they're the most important, and I think they ought to be gone over every 8 or 10 years at least, because people grow up, and I've seen people be in church 10, 15 years and then get saved. So we need it. And then you got the new people coming in. Now, of course, you that have been around for 40 years, but some of them aren't here. They're sitting out there, sitting home in their cushioned seat in the front room watching the TV or the computer. That's all right. We welcome you. John the Baptist, you sent unto John, he bear witness unto the truth. Now, he said, "I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say he, that you might be saved." Here again, he's looking for salvation. He was a burning and shining light. Don't you like to get around somebody who's a burning, shining light? Wow. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So here is a witness here. John the Baptist is a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look back in John chapter 1, verse 6, I'm going to go over some other statements of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's what God tells you about the prophet John the Baptist. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of him, Jesus, and cried, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me, and of his fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was a bit of light." Praise God for the light. "Even of the Jewish law that Moses brought. But hey, how much brighter, how much more brilliant is the sun of Jesus' righteousness and the life that he gives and he brings. Grace and truth. Saved by grace. You're not saved by your works, not being good little boys. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And by the way, that includes you. You might think, I'm so righteous, I don't need the Lord. I've talked to some people that way. They don't think they need to be saved. They don't even think they're a sinner. In fact, some of them are so convinced that they're not ever going to stand in judgment for what they do that it takes away their fear. Well, I fear standing in judgment, but I've been judged in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Look at that in John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Wow. I never will for you when I first got saved. I was in the Air Force. And I remember the realization came upon me, my sins are paid for. Now, I was a little wild as a young man. A lot of you were there. So don't look down on me too much. But I had some sins. And I knew they were sins. I was raised in a Christian home. And I knew certain things that I did were not the best, were not approved of by my family or by some of the members of my family. I felt a great sense of relief, almost like a great big burden had fallen off my back. And I said, I'm free. Praise God. He paid my sin debt. That's what he says right here. Taketh away the sin of the world. And look at John 1:33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom ye shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, here's John's testimony, I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. What about a testimony John gave? You want to know what John said? John said, Jesus is it. And so he said right there in the scriptures we were looking at just a minute ago, John the Baptist, he sent unto John. He was a burning and shining light. You ought to pay attention to him. Now then, after we have that testimony, we have another testimony in John chapter 5, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. Well, I think that's a pretty good witness, what he had with John. John was an unusual man. You know how unusual he was? He was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. You weren't done that way. You didn't get it that way. Bless your heart. You had to come around, go through a whole big mess yourself, and then get saved, and then maybe get filled with the Spirit of God. Praise God. Well, that was John. And he bare witness of the truth. He said that all men, John 1:7, through him might believe. Now the works, he said, that's a bigger witness. I've got the witness of the testimony of this great prophet John. But I've got a better one. What does he say? The works which the Father hath given me to finish. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. You remember when they lowered the man that was sick down through the roof? And Jesus said, thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And all the Pharisees and all the religious people, who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, that's true. The only one that can forgive sins is God alone. He said, but that you know that I have the power to forgive sins, rise up and walk and go home. He did. He picked up everything and walked out of there a whole man. What was he showing? That the works proved he had the power for the other. So it says, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do and bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now, if you look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, it says, if we receive the witness of men, pardon me, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. God is testifying that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh by the works that he allows him to do. Now, and also that first same chapter, 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How do you get to heaven? How do you get your sins forgiven? How do you get eternal life? Not by being good. Because even when you're trying to be good, you're bad. Even when you're trying to think good, you think bad. You have emotions, you have fears, you have all sorts of imaginations, and you have a background that's pitiful. Most cases. I don't know how some people think they're without sin, but they do. I have met them, I have talked to them, and I could not convince them that they had sin at all. All right? This is the record. You get eternal life through the Son. If you have the Son, then you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Now think about Nicodemus. Look in John chapter 3, verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, a lot of stories have gone out by going by night, thinking that he was afraid to be seen with Jesus, or he didn't want the Sanhedrin to know that he was, as a member of them, going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think so. I think Jesus was so busy during the day, Nicodemus knew he didn't have a chance. And so he went at night and got his change. And whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. How does he know? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I had someone that I witnessed to for years. Could never convince him to accept Christ. His problem was, no man could do what Jesus did. Well, that's exactly right. I couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, but Jesus was God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. Those Pharisees knew, well, you're making yourself equal with God. That's exactly right. That's what he was doing. He was saying, what I'm doing by God. God's doing the works in me. And Nicodemus says, nobody could do what you do unless God was with him. Have you come to that conclusion? That would be a pretty good conclusion for you to come to when you're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what is said about him, how he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he answered everybody that ever came up against him and showed what the truth was. Well, if God wasn't with him, he couldn't do it. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, that was Nicodemus' problem. He's with his buddies all day long, and the great majority of them didn't believe in Jesus and were, some of them wanted to kill him. But he's thinking about how do all these people get healed? And how about the people that are raised from the dead? Who can do things like that without God? And that was enough proof for Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, I know you come from God. So I think it's a tremendous thing. So there was the works of God that he did that proved him that he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, and that the Father was approving. Now then, the Father himself, we look back at verse 37 in chapter 5, and he said, the Father himself, another witness. John the Baptist, the works that I do. Now, how about the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he sent, you believe not. Here's another witness, and that's the Father himself. Now, what happens? Let's look back. John 14:10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So the Father has testified there. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, we have again the Father testifying. Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay. Now we've got John the Baptist saying he's that way. When John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, the voice came from heaven. And you know what we're reading in this Bible? We're not reading a novel that was raised up. We're reading eyewitness testimony of people who lived with him for the 3 years that his ministry came about. And some of them knew him all of his life. This is their testimony of what they saw and did. And you know, they went to their graves still testifying Jesus rose from the dead. They went around the world. Really did. Okay. After Matthew 17:1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun, and his raiment was white as light. Wow. James and John and Peter are with Jesus on this mountain. All of a sudden, here appears Jesus, and he's shining like they've never seen him before. Now that's what they're telling us here. This is their testimony. And he was transfigured before them. Face did shine as the sun. And behold, there appeared Moses and Elias. Well now, Moses is the lawgiver and the writer of the first 5 books of the Bible. That's a pretty important man. By the way, I just watched the old Ten Commandments show the other night. It's still a good old show, you know. They got a few things about it that's not exactly biblical, but I don't know who their people were. But it was a good show. I liked it. I liked old Moses going in and getting them and bringing them out and bringing the law and whatever. It was very good. Anyway, it says his raiment was white as the light. And there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Well, now, this impresses Peter. Wow. This is Moses. And this is Elijah, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, the man that could call fire down fire from heaven and all of the certain things that he did. Elijah's a tremendous prophet. So's Moses. Do you realize writing those first five books of the Bible, that was a tremendous task. He didn't have a computer, Brent. He sure didn't. And he says he saw Moses and Elias talking with him. Then said Peter. Peter's always quick. Then answered Peter, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Wow. Wouldn't you think so? Hey, I used to think I just, what a thrill it would be to go out at the rapture, just boop, all of a sudden one day, take a flight, huh? We may be getting close to it. We may see it one of these days. Come on, Lord. Bring it on. Let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Well, that seems reasonable to Peter. Uh-oh. While he yet spake, he didn't get it all out of his mouth. God breaks in on him. A bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It's not Moses and Elias and Jesus. It's Jesus only. Moses can give you a law that can convict you of sin. Yeah. Elijah can come back in the form of John the Baptist and introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes Jesus to take care of the sin and giving of the life. They're not in the same category. You understand? Moses and Elijah were men that were great. Spirit-filled men, powerful men, wonderful men. There's stories, I love to read them. But Jesus is alone the one Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of David who's going to sit on the throne. He's God in the flesh. He represents to you what you can look like and maybe understand as God. Because His mind is the same mind as God. His works are the same works as God. He's God. He's God in the flesh. Now, when I was growing up, I was in a Christian home. Wasn't very fanatic or even very faithful in a lot of ways. And yet, I was told the Bible was the Word of God and Jesus was God in the flesh. Those two things, I just believed them. And I still do. I'm glad I was taught this, those two things. How about that? Here he is, Moses. Wow, the lawgiver. Wow, the writer of the first five books of the Bible. Wow, the deliverer from Egypt. Wow. Man, he's done a lot of things. This is a great man. That is a great man. But he's just a man. Just a man. Moses. How about Elijah? Well, yeah, he can call down fire from heaven, but when some of the disciples wanted to do it, James and John, the sons of thunder, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Elijah's spirit was different than that which was in Jesus Christ. And so we have these two real heroes of the faith to Peter and James and John and maybe even John the Baptist. They were there. We're going to make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. No. You know what their testimony is? What did he say he was doing here in chapter 20? That's the last chapter of this book of John. I'm telling you things that aren't necessarily in any other books. And I could write a lot more than what I'm doing. But what I'm doing with these, the reason why I brought these things out is that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that, that'll bring the life to your name. It's an evangelistic book. No, we don't want a tabernacle or a monument to Moses and Elijah. It's Jesus only, the voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And they fell on their faces. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So we have the witness of the Father from the heavens, himself. We have the John Baptist witness. We have the works that Jesus does that witness that tell you he's the God, the Son of God. Then you have the Father himself. And it says in Matthew 3:16-17, "Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now that's not just one or two people giving this testimony. This testimony goes along here for different people at different times. And we have this testimony here to show you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that these men believe that. It's their eyewitness testimony. Now we have another one. Look at verse 39. The scriptures. John 5:39. "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." When I got saved, I was a refueling man in the Air Force. I worked in fatigues all the time. We actually had two nice pockets on my fatigues, but some officer on the base said you couldn't put anything in those pockets. So I couldn't carry a New Testament in them, or I couldn't carry cigarettes in them or anything like that. So my New Testament that I got to quit smoking cigarettes, every time I'd want a cigarette, I'd read a chapter or two of the Bible and pray, "Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit." I read that New Testament 20 times the first year I was saved. It was probably about the thick as my thumb is when they gave it to me when I went into the Air Force. Gideon's came along, just free gift of a New Testament. And I would read it. But I'm with grease, oil, jet fuel, gasoline, kerosene, anything. All of this type of stuff, it's all the time. Well, that New Testament got dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And it got thicker and thicker and thicker. Till it was sort of a black and blue thing about that thick instead of what it was before. But you know what I'm doing? I'm pulling up and I'm putting gas in an airplane, B-52, B-36, or some other something on weekends. And while I'm watching that fuel, I'm reading Bible. So that's just a very grungy, grungy Bible. Now some people that think their salvation is in the scriptures and this will protect you if you put it under your pillow at night. I've even known people, some of you have probably done this. You said, "Lord, I don't know what your decision, I don't know what you want me to do with my life. Show me what I want for my life." And you take the Bible and just close your eyes and you put both thumbs and you drop it and you put your finger down and you put it on a verse and it says, "And Judas hanged himself." You know, well, I better try that again. And so you do it again and said, "Lord, Lord, show me your will for my life." "Go and do thou likewise." This is not a magic book. This is just a book. It's the message in it that's wonderful. It's not that nothing should ever be laid on top of the Bible, or that you shouldn't get a Bible dirty, or that you shouldn't write in a Bible, or a lot of other things that people think about. Wow. You know what? He's going to tell you right here. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now that's what they thought. They actually added an awful lot of things to the scriptures, the Pharisees, the Jews did. Many, many things that were not scriptural. And Jesus confronted them over them, and it made them so mad they wanted to kill him. Now wasn't that a wonderful spirit? You disagree with me, I gotta kill you, right? You publicly disagree with me, well, we got to wipe you out. Sounds like the thinking of some of these mobs that are going around the streets right now in this old world we got here. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life. Now, you don't have eternal life because you got a Bible. You understand? It's the message inside the Bible that you need to go. And by the way, the Bible's not all that hard to understand. Most of the words are one and two syllables. Did you ever think about that? You ought to think about it. God has not put it down in language that you cannot understand. If you compare scripture with scripture and get your definitions from the context as we've been taught, you'll learn something. And you know what the number one thing you'll learn is? Jesus is the Son of God. And he can save your soul. He died in your place. He paid your debt. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. I had a very good family. My dad and my mom loved me. I could always go there. Even if I'd been a wicked sinner, I could have gone back home. You know something? I'm just thankful God received me. And you know what I can do? I can go into any prison in the country and I can talk to a murderer or a rapist, child molester. What's the most wicked thing you can think of? Far as my wife, Verlene, was concerned, it'd be child molesting. I tell you what, she would be for hanging them up real good. And you know what I can tell them? Jesus died in your place. He can save your soul from hell. And if you ever get to heaven, the only way you're going to get there is that Jesus paid your debt. You can't pay it. If you decide you're going to pay your debt, you'll never get through. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Don't get some of these little rules in your mind and think that somebody wears too short a dress or somebody doesn't have on a coat when he goes to church or somebody laid something on top of the Bible that was in your room or whatever. And all this was great, something, something terrible. It's not. It's the truth that's in it. It's not the value of a book, like a talisman or something like a protection, superstition. It's the message that's in the book. And that message glorifies Jesus Christ. It's a great, great, great message. I don't know how you can ever go back to your own works and think you're going to be glorified by God. Bless your heart. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, is what Jesus said. When in Luke 24:27 it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. He's going along the road with these disciples. And they begin to talk to him. Don't you know what's been happening in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard about Jesus dying and whatever? They're not understanding. And then he said he opened their minds. He explained to them, well, this means this, and this means this, and this is here, and this is here, and the testimony that went here. Wow, the great stories of the Bible and the great truths of the Bible. They're wonderful. They're comforting. They bring peace to the heart. comfort to the soul. It says in Luke 24, 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. In the same chapter, verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You know what those fellows got? They got them a seminary course in a night. They pointed it out to them, these different verses, these things that happened out. And you know what they're telling you? This is eyewitness testimony. He explained it to us. We understand it now. You know, there are a lot of things I understand now that I sure didn't understand when I first read this book. I started reading at the wrong place at the very first chapter. you need to get the Gospel of John and Romans out of the way about five times and understand that salvation before you go anywhere else, as far as I'm concerned. Wow. What great truth. You heard about the fellow that was reading the Bible, and he reads about this ark they make in back in Moses' books. This ark to bear the law and the other things. Canes that budded and whatever. And then he reads about them, and they're carrying the ark across the desert, you know. Well, he thinks about the ark, Noah's ark. How in the world did they carry that across the desert, you know? You got to be able to put the right thing in the right place, in the right time, and whatever, you know. That's what you're doing. It's not that you take these scriptures and they're going to be so great, they're going to protect you from a car wreck. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Know the Lord. Wonderful thing to know His Word. And that old New Testament that I carried. Yeah, it got me through cigarettes. Got me off of them. But it was an ugly thing. But it wasn't ugly to me. But other people say, well, why would you touch a book like that? You know, that's a scroungy thing. Why don't you get you a new one? Well, what would happen to a new one in a month's time? It'd be about the same as this one would have been. It's not this, it's the message that's in this. It's the message that's in it. It's the message of the grace of God. I'm so thankful for grace. I really am. You may feel that some people are way, way too interested in grace and preach grace way too much. No, I don't think you can overemphasize grace. The idea that Jesus would pay the debt of all sinners, that I could actually stand complete and full and whole in front of God. One mediator. By the way, his name isn't Mary. One mediator. He's not a priest in the sense of the world priest that we have today. He's not a preacher in the sense that we're talking to. You don't have the right to forgive sins. You don't have the right to represent God like that. God, by His grace, by His love, by His compassion, in His own mind, in His love for mankind, provided a way for you to be saved. Wonderful, wonderful way for you to be saved. Don't ever put it down. Don't ever put it in second place. Yeah. Keep telling the story. Amen. Keep telling people about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died in your place. He'll save your soul if you'll just call upon Him. Yeah. You can go to anybody, anybody. That's the beautiful thing about it. I know a lot of people, they think they are good enough, and they actually think they're going to stand up and answer to God. Friend, you don't stand a chance. Because there's only one name, that's Jesus. There's only one mediator between God and men. There's all the priests and all the preachers aren't mediators. Mary's not a mediator. She's not going to stand for you. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Wow. And that he would accept you? Go to some judge here in San Antonio and see if he'd accept you. Go to a lawyer and see if he'd accept your case. Nobody has a chance but Jesus. And that's what this beautiful little thing's saying. Wow. You know, there was a verse in 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. And he says in verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You know why people will turn down Jesus? They don't seek the honor that comes from God only. That's the only place it's going to come from. You think you have honor? You think you have respect? You think you have lived a life so good? No. Not if you take just the two commandments as Jesus gives them. Love God supremely. Did you ever do that? Are you doing it now? No. How about love your neighbor as yourself? He that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. It's what your Bible says. Praise God. Jesus died in my place. Because I can't, anytime I see those, I'm guilty. Aren't you guilty? I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I was married to just about 60 years. And I was a selfish husband and my wife was a selfish wife. We got along fine. But you know what? I'd hate to stand up before God and try to justify everything I ever did. And my wife wouldn't either. Praise God. We got four witnesses. John the Baptist, the works that he did, the Father speaking from heaven himself, and the scriptures all point that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing in him, you have life evermore. God bless you. Well, thank you. I'll accept. Appreciate that.